All right, come down. 3, 2, 1. Welcome in to Return of the Empire. My name is Jay Mars, joined as always by our Sactown Sports beat writer, insider, and overall 49ers guru, Emil Fragoso. Emil, what's going on?
You're too kind, Jay. Every week you make up new little terms for me. I appreciate it, man.
I'm not making those up. Those are in your job description.
Yeah, they are, actually. You're so kind. Thank you, Jay. How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to 49ers Pod.
Yeah, obviously a bye week last week. This week coming into a big game with the Chargers Sunday Night Football on NBC. Kyle Shanahan's got all of his new toys healthy and ready to go on offense, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit.
Yep.
But yesterday in the afternoon, it broke. God. Really bad term, Justin, Jay, whatever my name is, but we'll go with it anyways.
Yeah.
Jason Verrett, who had a very good season with the 49ers in 2020 through 13 games, had made what it looked like to be a great comeback after missing, essentially, it felt like his whole career from 2016 to 2019. And, you know, week one, 2021, went down with the ACL injury.
Yep.
Devastating.
Devastating.
And had been working his way back all season long to get on the field. And we thought, you know, they activated him from the PUP a few weeks ago. And again, slowly bringing him back for obvious reasons.
Yep.
And there was a good shot that he was going to play in this Sunday's game against the Chargers, which would have been a, you know, a boost on the boost in the secondary for sure, but an emotional boost for guys to see, you know, someone come back from the devastating injuries that has come on and show that grit and determination to get on the field.
Yeah.
And it breaks yesterday that he tears his left Achilles.
Yeah. Just from a perspective in the media, we were all in the media room at the time, getting ready for practice, usual stuff, no one had any clue what was going on. And all of a sudden you get a tweet, 49ers now, Jason Verrett tore his Achilles. Their head of communications comes in, gives us the news, and just a gasp across the entire media room, just heartbroken for this guy who we've watched for years now. Just deal with so many injuries over his career, and he was really looking forward to coming back, really starting to look himself, especially on Wednesday, leading the group in drills initially at practice. He was really looking like his former all-pro self, getting that initial burst back, that jumping ability, that leaping ability. Now he's out, and it's just another setback, and it's just super heartbreaking for everyone.
Yeah, and Greg Papa joined the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross this morning. He was there when it happened. He was around the team, and he gives a play-by-play of exactly what went down.
I would just say, Jay, that it's the worst thing I've ever seen on the practice field in all my years and in any sport. The scene on Wednesday when he went down to injury was just heartbreaking at the highest level, and it was so emotional. He's been injured so much in his career, and, you know, the ACL is the most recent one, going back to the first game of the year last season in Detroit. He worked so hard. And, he kept coming up to me and saying, I'm coming back. I'm going to practice when they go to Minnesota. We're going to, you know, join practices back in August. And, no, he can't quite do that. They put him on PUP to start the year, physically unable to perform. But he was still targeting to come back, and he's been practicing with the team ever since they activated him off PUP for a couple of weeks. And I've been skeptical. I just didn't see it. I didn't see the straight line speed. I didn't see the change of direction. I just didn't see where he could play.
Yeah.
But it's a gradual process week to week. And this practice on Wednesday, I finally saw it. There was a play right before he went down. He was playing right corner on the offense's left. There was an out thrown a little bit high, but he changed direction. He planted his foot. He drove back. He came to the ball. He got up in the air, and he broke the play up. And I thought, damn, maybe not this game, but there may be a point later in the year where the great Jason Verrett gets his body back, and he comes back. And then, Dave, the very next play, a sniper hit him.
Yeah.
And it was awful. He went down prone. It was like a chalk outline on the field. And the whole place went. And there's so much noise at 49er practice with the planes over and the music, and it never stops. All of a sudden, it was pin drop silent. And it was, oh my God. And he got really emotional. He took his jersey off right away and threw it. He took his, it was a cold day that day, a lot of wind, so he had something under his jersey, a sweatshirt, and he lifted it up and covered his face and head, and it was terrible. They brought the card out, and the players were just numb. Nobody said a word for a long time. Then they all took a knee, and you didn't know what to do. And then Kyle brought him in, and I think they thought about calling it off. And Kyle got emotional. He could hardly talk. And they decided they would continue with practice, and they did. But I remember with Trent Williams, he had a hoodie on, and he pulled it down over his face, and it was the eeriest thing I've ever seen. It really was, and it was just terrible. So the football team will overcome.
Sure.
That's what football teams do.
Sure.
And he wasn't even playing. He was not playing.
Sure.
So he was going to be an addition to what you had. But with the real pain that you feel is for Jason Verrett and what he went through, and now what he has to wake up to. I mean, the only guy that's I can think of that has had this kind of back there. He's had so many of them. He's torn Achilles before. He's torn ACLs before, and now he's got the daily double on both. But the only guy that I can think of without ever playing at all in his sport to go ACL followed by Achilles is Klay Thompson. And Raymond Ritter of the Warriors, their great PR director, and beyond that, kind of runs that whole building. He just texted me and said, I'm going to have Klay Thompson reach out to Jason Verrett and try to pick him up, because I'm sure Klay had a lot of dark days and nights, and it was awful and all of it. So it's just we can sympathize with Jason, but how many of us on the planet can empathize with him? Klay can. Klay can try to pick him up. So that's the one good thing. But Wednesday was just numbing. It was the most numbing experience I've ever observed in pro sports.
Man, that, and hearing Greg just kind of lay it out, and you hear the things Trent Williams, pulling the head. It really got to me too, is when he opened up saying what just the play-by-play of what Verrett. Yeah. Happens there, and he takes off the shirt, takes off it, throws it, covers his face up. It's like he knew. Yeah. He knew right then and there.
Well, when you've had injuries the way you've had injuries with Jason Verrett, you know when something terrible has happened, especially to his lower body, because he's had so many injuries over his history of his career. You know what's going on. It's just, it's super heartbreaking for this guy who, I don't know what to say. It really took me back most of the day, and it was hard to get through the rest of practice and stuff, because you could just feel a total shift in the mood around the team. Again, D'Amico Ryan's even said it was a somber mood. Debo said it took the life out of everybody, basically. Kittle said the same things, like the soul out of everybody. It just, they feel for their, one of their team captains is Jason Verrett.
What was it,
captain or not? Really is it.
What was it like when you got there? What did you notice? From a mood, the vibe. What was going on?
And initially, before the news or after?
After.
After the news. We didn't go out onto the field until about 15, 20 minutes after we heard the news. Once we went out onto the field, the vibe there was very quiet and very keep to itself. There weren't a ton of smiles. There were a few, but there really weren't many. It was focused on the task at hand. They were playing EDM to start the day. Kind of a weird mix. They never really play EDM. They play more trap rap music, Kodak Black, a lot of other people.
Sure.
They were playing EDM to start the day, kind of get the upbeat, and then they kind of switched over back to the rap music, and it was all sad songs, all basically for the pouring one out, falling for the homie, and it really felt that there was a loss, not only on the field but off the field for their teammate.
Who controls the playlist there? Like
the audio?
Yeah,
it's a mixture of just players and coaches and PR people, but mostly players. We haven't gotten a definitive answer. It varies per week. I'm pretty sure Bosa was at hand for the EDM. He was the only one bobbing along to it. I know Trent Williams plays a lot. Debo also plays a lot. Loves Kodak. He's usually in charge of the big boom box that comes out when they walk out. He's in charge of that stuff. Mostly those guys, though, big role players.
And getting back to Jason Verrett, obviously, it goes without saying he will miss the season, as they've announced. Likely going to miss next season, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder at this point whether it's retirement or if he's going to try to come back again. How can a guy, by the time he comes back, he'll probably be 33, hadn't played in two seasons. How realistic is it for him to make a roster at this point?
How realistic is it for him to try to?
That's what I mean.
Like what is there left to prove for him? I think this year was his comeback season, one of the last efforts he had, because he'd been written off so many times, and he was really starting to feel that energy and that vibe from the locker room that he was going to be back and be a real part of this team. And now that he's here, and he put out a quote, a statement afterwards on Instagram. I won't go through all of it because it's a little bit of explicit, but He basically saying, you know, there's always a plan to this. There's always a plan to this. Got to keep my chin up, my chest out. I got to move on and push through. Appreciate everyone, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's heartbreaking for a guy who's only played 18 games since 2016.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's
man.
Insane. Insane.
It is absolutely insane.
I mean, man. My heart just goes out to him and his family. It really does.
Thoughts are with Jason Verrett, obviously. And, you know, hopefully one way or the other, whatever that next path looks for him, whether it's trying to latch on with the team again in a couple years or, you know, maybe going the coaching route. Whatever route he takes, you know, hopefully you can tell his attitude is of someone who he has a good spirit about him in that case. And so I think there are good things on the horizon for Jason Verrett, even if it means not ever putting on another NFL uniform.
I agree as well. I think his leadership ability has evolved over the course of his career because of, obviously, circumstances. But I think that's probably one of his biggest traits. And he was a real role model for these guys. I mean, Tre'Varius Mooney Ward, he talked about before the season about how he had Jason Verrett jerseys in college. He looked up to him. Like, these guys really look up to JV. And he might just come back to the team as a positional coach. We'll see. He might come back as a player. You don't really know because the future is so unknown and so fresh right now. But, yeah, there's a lot of questions remaining for Jason Verrett, but right now it's about getting healthy.
It is, and health is going to be a big thing going into this Sunday versus the Chargers. Again, that is the primetime game, Sunday Night Football on NBC. I have been – and this is such a hard transition to do after Verrett news to get into actually, you know, looking forward to a game. But I said it. Kyle Shanahan must be salivating.
Yeah.
Salivating at the idea of a healthy Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Brandon Ayuk, Elijah Mitchell is supposed to be coming back correct on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Who did I miss? I know I left someone out.
Oh, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's pretty good. Oh, my God. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo can mess this one up.
I mean, you would think not. Even Kyle was even saying it on Wednesday and as well. It's kind of a pick your poison kind of thing.
Yes.
We have five guys out who can really game break.
How do you plan? Like, no, and I mean this honestly, like no hyperbole here. If you're the Chargers on the defensive side of the ball, how the hell do you prepare for that?
You don't. You really, really don't. I don't know what they're going to do. Asante Samuel Jr. has his work cut out for him. Michael Davis certainly has his work cut out for him.
Who does Samuel cover, right?
Anyone?
Because, I would imagine that the Chargers are going to have to play a lot of zone. You cannot go man coverage on this team.
It's going to be a lot of Derwin James and his instincts to really carry it home. I can honestly see them going blitz happy and just trying to force the issue, which might actually work against this 49ers offensive line that's been makeshift on the outside, not in the interior, obviously. But it's going to be a real pick-your-poison thing, and Jimmy loves throwing his checkdowns. And guess who's there?
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey.
Literally everybody. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm like, if they go blitz happy this weekend, which to your point I think is your best strategy, not that it's a particularly good one, but you have a quarterback that, you know, does struggle under pressure.
Yeah.
But like you said, if they're expecting that, they're just going to check down all game. You bring the cavalry in. All Jimmy does is if he dumps that ball off to McCaffrey or Kittle or Debo, any of the three, good luck.
Yeah, no, good luck to you. I mean, they are 24th in points allowed. 206 this year. They've only scored the 19 most points, 184 according to PFF. Overall grade on a team is 28. They're not a good team. Let's be real here. What's crazy about this team, though?
They're 5-3, though. That's the crazy thing.
Well, they pulled a lot of games out of their behind. Let's be honest here. That Falcons game was out of their behind. There were a couple other ones that just they shouldn't have won.
Right.
Herbert has been just banged up with the rib injury the whole year, and he's starting to finally get healthy. You're starting to see it better.
Keenan Allen's out, though.
Keenan Allen's likely out. I know Mike Williams out for another 2 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Keenan Allen, his hamstring. Lord help us. He's never going to.
We talked about the Chargers defense, you know, going blitz heavy. If I'm the Niners, I'm looking to just put Justin Herbert on his butt all week.
Oh, yeah, especially offensive defense. There's no Joey Bosa, but guess who? There's Nick Bosa.
Right.
Who is going to go against backup left tackles, Storm Norton, who has been very, very bad this year. It's going to be really fun for Nick Bosa.
Do you, in any way, shape, or form, and I hate to use the term here because it's kind of out of context, but is this a trap game for the 49ers in any sense to you?
I mean, every game is a trap game with the 49ers. Let's be real here. But no, I mean, it could. The Chargers have talent. Let's not act like they don't have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL.
No, they do. But like you said, he's been playing banged up all season.
Yeah, and the line doesn't really help him. I mean, he has other options. I mean, he's got Gerald Everett, who's been kind of a wide receiver tight end for them this year. He's been a combo role for them. They got Josh Palmer, who's been solid. They have DeAndre Carter, if you know who that is. I do, but not everyone does. they have people, and then they still have Austin Eckler, which they're going to – and Austin Eckler, especially the last five games, he has six touchdowns. He's been finding the end zone a lot.
Yeah.
They're running the ball with him a lot, and he's been playing
very, very
well.
They're going to have to run the ball.
They're going to have to control the clock.
Yeah, they can't rely on Herbert to throw 35, 40 times a game.
Because they know that if they don't control the clock, guess who will?
The Niners.
The Niners will. Kyle Shanahan will run that clock out of Levi's Stadium.
And so we talked about the offense side. Let's look over at the defense. Obviously, we spent a lot of time this week early on in this show about Verrett.
Yep.
But Javon Kinlaw's out. I think we all expected that. And everybody was, you know, kind of hoping, but it was not false hope. I think it was more of like a prayer that Eric Armstead would play this weekend, but yeah. Armstead's still out. Hasn't appeared since week four against the Rams. What is going on there? Like, is there an expectation that he'll even come back this season at this point?
I mean, they don't really know. We got the full details on what actually is going on with Eric Armstead. It's hairline fracture in his in his ankle, I believe on his left ankle, and then on his right foot he has plantar fasciitis. So
them feet ain't working too well.
Them feet are not working too well. Yeah, so it's a little more than just ankle sprain. It's a hairline fracture. So it's a small fracture in his ankle. Obviously, still very, very painful, especially for a defensive lineman who's very, very big.
Yeah,
big
I was going to say,
very big person.
Walking on a hairline fracture at his size, no. It has to be, you know, 10 times worse than, like, if me or you had one.
Oh, absolutely. So Armstead hasn't been in practice. He's not going to be at this game this week. And even Kinlaw, he's going to be out for a while. He had knee cleanup. He's having knee cleanup issues, fluid issues in his knee. He's still on IR. We'll see when he comes back if he does. Samson Ebukam is someone to really look out for, though. Yep. He has a quad injury that he picked up on Monday's bonus practice on top of the Achilles tendonitis he's been dealing with since the turf games on the road trip. So he has not been in practice either, and we'll see what happens today, but he probably won't play.
Yeah, that defensive side of the ball has been banged up now for a few weeks, and they can really use those guys back. And it does create a problem long term when you don't know when you don't have a timetable. You don't know when you're going to get guys back into the game, which means you don't know. Ideally, you want them back probably 4 weeks, you know, before the playoffs, because really you just want them to spend a month to get their legs underneath them, get the, you know, game shape and in shape are two completely different things.
Yes.
And it takes especially big guys a while to get back into game shape. So Armstead, you know, you have to hope that you can really shore up the defensive tackle spot with him going back in there. That would be huge. I'm at a point with Kinlaw where it's just like, man, you know, it's not Jason Verrett, but it's the same idea. It's like, I just don't think this guy can stay healthy.
Yeah, it's the issue. I even wrote about it in my four predictions for the rest of the season, that Kinlaw will not be featured until the postseason. I just think that's going to be the plan. Because of this fluid that he has built up in his surgery repaired ACL, it's really of what's going on. If you read the quotes as well that he gave last week during the bye week, it was just really, really saddening. He's like, I just want to contribute, man. I want to be on the team. It's like, oh.
No,
you feel for him.
And I think fans get a little sometimes removed from the human aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It's like you're upset because, well, we traded DeForest Buckner for the pick that became him. Mm-hmm. He's been a quote-unquote bust, but it doesn't really have anything to do with talent so much as dude can't stay on the field. And it's not that dude can't stay on the field because he doesn't want to be there. Clearly, he wants to get out and contribute. He just physically can't.
Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, you saw week four when he was doing the pregame workout and he had to he walked out the field with a towel over his head and just down. It's just been one thing after the other for Kinlaw. And he even, obviously his rookie year, he had some body chip issues, some other issues with the injury.
There's been issues every season.
There's been issues every season with Kinlaw. There has been, obviously. Whether it's on the field, off the field, fighting with media, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. but he redid his body this year. He put so much effort into becoming a better overall player, not just doing defensive lineman stuff, just a better defensive player in general. And to see, and he knew this could happen. He knew this was a possibility after surgery. It's been over a year now since the surgery. And it's just, you want to go out there, you want to play, but he also knows it's a process about coming
Correct.
Back. So it's really, really disheartening for a kid who is in his third year, I believe, in the league.
Third or fourth? Third, I think.
Third, I think I believe it's the third year in the league, and he just hasn't been on the field. Because when he's on the field, he's a game wrecker. He's fantastic.
No, he is great. But again, you got the best availability, or the best ability is availability, as they say. Yep. So, all right, 49ers Chargers this Sunday. Give me your prediction.
Well, based on the music they were playing yesterday at practice, I will confidently say it's going to be 31-17, 49ers.
31-17. I was going to go with 38-13.
Really?
I cannot with... the way things are going with LA, with the attitude the 49ers are becoming, with the, you know, having a healthy offense, all of these weapons, I think they just blow the Chargers out the water.
I could see it. I really could see it. Again, this is a statement game for them. They love playing on Sunday night. They love playing in prime
time.
They
love the lights, man.
They love the lights. This is a big game team, and they, Kyle especially, wants to prove to the world that he is that guy, especially on offense with this offense that he has fully unleashed with Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. Brandon, now you pick your poison.
Yeah, no, it's pick your poison. It's going to be interesting to see which poison is picked, whether they're going to spread the ball out, someone will be used as a decoy. I am really excited to look at the stat sheet next week when we do this. So, all right, Chargers, Niners, this Sunday, thank you guys for joining us on the Return of the Empire podcast. Yep. Emil, you're going to be out at the game, correct?
Yes, I am going to be on the field as well. Very, very excited for that. So catch me out there at Levi's Stadium. I was thinking of Levi's South, obviously. I think of Levi's South. Levi's Stadium, I will be there, 5:20 kickoff time. Catch me there.
And on the Sacktown Sports Instagram after the game, correct?
Yep, as well on the Sacktown Sports Instagram, as well as on my Twitter, at Emiliano Fragoso, as well as at Sacktown Sports on our Twitter as well. All the updates you guys need, follow me there, follow us there, everywhere.
There it is. Have fun this weekend, sir. And for the rest of you, hope we get a big win. Thank you guys for joining us.
Have a good one.